The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. With me today is Dr. Asia Muhammad. She is a naturopathic doctor in St. Louis, Missouri. Her focus is in gastroenterology, metabolic syndrome, and chronic inflammation. She offers in-person and virtual consults for her clients. She uses diet, botanicals, supplementation, and mind-body medicine to achieve optimal health outcomes. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you back. You're one of my favorite guests. I love having you on. You're always such a wealth of knowledge. And your practice, Lavender Roots Health and Wellness, is several years old here in St. Louis and has really taken off. Share a little bit about where you're located and what you're doing these days.
So I am now in Overland, which is, I guess, considered still St. Louis, but it's right in the, I guess, more St. Louis, more North County area. And so I pretty much am kind of doing the same thing, seeing a lot of chronic illness patients, metabolic syndrome. I see a ton of GI cases, and then some mood disorders. And we use, like she said, just botanicals, diet, supplements, mind-body medicine to kind of help people throw some more tools in the toolbox.
Gotcha. Never hurts to have more tools in the toolbox, especially right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what kind of concerns are you seeing from your clients and people that you're talking with currently regarding this COVID, COVID-19 crisis?
So a lot of what I'm seeing or getting calls about is people wanting to know what they can do for their immune system. So I have a lot of that. It's like, what can I do to make sure my immune system is up to par, you know, just in case I did come down with this infection, you know, I'd be able to fight it off on my own. So I'm seeing a lot of that and a lot of kind of worry and concern around people's family. Interestingly enough, people that I talk with, they are more concerned about giving it to somebody in their family who is immune compromised or who has an elderly person who may have like a history of like blood pressure or heart disease. They're more concerned about spreading it to their family. So that's what I'm seeing a lot of right now.
So when we talk about people who are immune compromised or have underlying conditions, you know, you've named a few of them, but what are some of the other conditions that people might want to be looking out for right now?
So anybody with like history of chronic pulmonary or lung disease, so asthma, COPD, any kind of like also not really necessarily autoimmune per se, but autoimmune cases as well, be mindful. And then like a lot of my patient base is metabolic, so obesity, diabetes, hypertension. And when you look at like the cases in terms of people who have died, high risk of dying, or those who typically fit the metabolic syndrome profile, or which is the obesity, diabetes, blood pressure, or some type of chronic asthma or COPD piece. So,
okay, and when we're talking about those populations, I'm going to admit that I have a special interest there. Of course, I'm an autoimmune case myself, multiple times over, and then my husband has asthma. So for people like us that are listening and going, okay, great, so I'm higher risk, now what? You know, what are some of the ways that you're easing their mind and helping them to feel empowered in this situation?
So a lot of what I do is just first and foremost reiterate the kind of quarantine guidelines right now, like not being in large crowds and large groups, just kind of making sure your areas are safe and clean, and so making sure you're cleaning with the solution that's effective, and just being mindful of, like, you know, taking your shoes off when you enter the house and surfaces that you may touch, and like going to the gas station, you know, the gas station a day, you know, just imagine all the people that touch the gas pump, right? So just being cognizant of small things. And then also I reiterate or kind of promote changing the diet around, because a lot of the patient populations that are dying, chronic obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, the diets are out of whack in those populations, hence, you know, the metabolic syndrome. So we kind of try, or I try to do like a diet overhaul with a lot of these people, and not necessarily changing everything, just small little changes we can that are manageable.
Yeah, and I definitely think, you know in my own case, you know, little changes can make a big mm-hmm. difference. And so yeah, absolutely reiterating that is so important. I got to ask you on a personal level, I'm turning 40 in a few weeks, and I really wanted to have a big bash. When is this thing going to be over?
Well, you don't look a day over 25, honey.
I love you. All right. So, but seriously, you know, like looking down the road, I was talking to a client this week, and she was like, oh, her daughter was supposed to get married on the same day as my birthday, which is June 13th, coming right up. And so, you know, she was like, well, how long are we going to be dealing with this? What is your opinion on that as you look at the projections?
You know, I don't know. I mean, when you listen to some of the bigger names in immunology right now, you hear maybe we'll have some of our summer back, or maybe it'll be over by the fall, or whenever we have the vaccine, that's when we'll kind of open things back up. So I have no idea. I do think that, you know, we will have some part of the year that returns to normalcy, but I don't necessarily think it'll be, I mean, the summer. I mean, it's already almost middle of April, you know, and they're not loosening the guidelines in the state, Missouri, and not anywhere else in the country that I'm aware of. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I have to say yesterday I received a notification from my son's school that school was canceled for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. That takes us through June. So okay. Anyway, yeah. All right. Well, so pulling it back though, what are some immune boosting foods or supplements, mm-hmm. things that people might have in their own home that mm-hmm. could help them during this time to be at their best?
Totally. So very simple things that are still at the grocery store that you can still find and are really affordable are just more of the plant family. So specifically focusing on like high antioxidant plants. So quercetin is one that I often recommend, which you can find in onions, garlic. Has been shown to help boost like natural killer cell activity, and natural killer cells are basically immune cells that basically hunt and kill viruses, including the COVID.
I got to put in a plug for garlic. You know, I love my raw garlic and I eat it every day. And, yeah. You know, my husband has gotten used to it. I think he's become nose blind, so that's good. But I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it's amazing how much just these simple hacks can really, really mm-hmm. help. So, okay. So garlic, what else?
So garlic, onions, peppers. Peppers have beta carotene, right? So they like red pepper, yellow pepper, orange peppers have beta carotene. Beta carotene is converted to vitamin A in the body. Vitamin A is needed for healthy immune function. We know like your B vitamins are also really good. When you are deficient in vitamin B6, we know that actually lends to a reduction in activity of the T cells that actually go and kill viruses as well. So you want to make sure your B6 is normal. Now, there's not really like a specific like B6 food list. When you find B vitamins, you typically find them together. B12 is one that's isolated in meats and whatnot. But I would say just kind of making sure you're eating a variety of like dark leafy greens, some onions and garlic every day, having some type of plant. Particularly vegetables. And then let's see, I had something else I was going to say, but I'm sure it'll come back to me.
Yeah. You know, and that's all really, really good. So basically, you know, more plants, real whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
We did an interview earlier today and somebody had asked about raw versus cooked and that kind of thing. You mm-hmm. had some interesting insights on that as well.
Yeah, so raw vegetables versus cooked vegetables. So we know that when you cook a vegetable, you basically enhance breaking down the cell walls. So if you are somebody who has like digestion issues and you're not really absorbing the vitamins and minerals out of your foods, you may consider cooking things over, say, eating a ton of like raw broccoli or raw carrots and whatnot. But you can also have really, really great benefits from raw foods, really great prebiotic sources for the gut. So, you know, it goes both ways. I think a healthy balance of both is really beneficial. So I tend to eat like a ton of like salads, which everything in there is raw, right? And then I also like saute like something with onion and garlic for dinner as well. So
gotcha.
Kind of getting both.
And, you know, a few people might be hearing a little going on here with me. It is allergy season. And Are people freaking out and thinking maybe they've got the COVID when they've just should we go over some symptoms here and help put people's minds at ease?
Yeah. So I would say with seasonal allergies, you don't typically have the fever picture, right? Cough is something that can vary from case to case, but typically you have a lot of like runny nose, itchy, sneezing. You will have some kind of phlegm or like a little mucus buildup, but with the coronavirus, emergency symptom or something like red flag symptom would be like a fever, right? That would kind of distinguish a lot of the other symptoms. And I know people that have been diagnosed with the coronavirus and they just feel tired, right? And so I had one of my close friends, she was just, she was already quarantined. I mean, already off work from her job. And she called me and said she just felt really tired and her nose was stuffy, but she also has really bad allergies. So she's like, oh, I've been sick two other times this month. And I said, just go to your doctor and see if you can get a test for the COVID just to be sure. And she went and got tested, and she's positive, right? So she just thought it was allergies plus she was tired. She had no fever. She had none of the other symptoms. So it can vary case to case.
Wow. I mean, so I think that's one of the things that's so captivating about this mm-hmm. or captivating is maybe sounds like a great word, right? That sounds positive, and that's not what we mean, but you know, so interesting about this situation that's emerging is there's just so much that we don't know about how this affects different people, and there's such a wide range. And you know, some of my friends who are ER doctors that are seeing these cases mm-hmm. come in and you know, they're sitting there and talking with someone one day, and the next day that mm-hmm. person is gone, you know, in their 20s and 30s. So that's the thing. So I do think it's great that, you know, people are, hopefully the accessibility to tests is improving, I hope.
Right, right.
You know, I know that especially in certain areas of the city, people have had a really hard time getting tested.
Yeah, that's been a little challenging. And that was something that I think I was discussing maybe a week ago, because we see these pop-up test sites. But, you know, the demographic that's largely affected or at high risk, like Black populations, they weren't really sure where to go for testing, like in their areas. I think that you're right, testing is improving because, like I said, my friend, she was able to go to her primary care right up the street, and they actually have some tests now and get tested. So that is improving.
Okay, and then as far as getting tested, that's another thing that I would love to know a little bit more about. When people are thinking, you know, they've either got active symptoms or maybe they think they've had it a few weeks ago, you know, mm-hmm. and they haven't been tested yet, is there a test available for, you know, to find out if they've got the antibodies?
Yeah, there are tests available. So I know that for me, even now I got an email from one of the companies I use that they have coronavirus tests available now. So if I wanted to order some kits and have patients test for them, we could do that. And I think it costs around like varying prices, $135 to $150 across the board if you were to go and get it done independently, meaning not at your doctor's office or not in the ER. It's going to run you about $130 or $150 if you wanted to know that information.
Now, is there an advantage to knowing?
I don't know. I think it's relative, right? So I think that if you are somebody, for example, who has like seasonal allergies and you're not sure if these are allergies or coronavirus symptoms, and you also like live in a household where somebody else has asthma or COPD, and you, if you have it, you don't want to, you know, get them sick. So you may want to know in that case situation. But, you know, typically when you have coronavirus, they tell you just to self-quarantine for about 14 days and don't worry about testing unless you have some of these more dire symptoms like the fever or kind of the trouble breathing at that point. So,
and what do we know about the potential for reinfection with this particular disease?
So also, there's not a lot circulating right now in America, but I was reading maybe 3 weeks ago or so about some of the population in China where they tested positive for coronavirus, cleared the virus, and they retested positive for it. So it doesn't seem like being positive for coronavirus provides you protection against future, you know, positive tests or future contracting the virus again.
So as a doctor, what do you think about that? Or even just as a human, does that scare you a little bit? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Like, I live in America. Everything's scary. I mean, it is a little scary, especially for me. Like, I see a lot of Black patients. So for me, it's really scary because the concern is if we know that this demographic has higher amounts of obesity, diabetes, and such, and you can become reinfected, it's like, do we change the protocol? You know, do we change the immune system boosting supplement protocol? How does that work? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I think there's just so much uncertainty right now, and that's one of the hardest things about this situation. So let's take the power back, though. So, you know, what we can do in those populations, and really just anyone, again, eating well, what are some other ways to boost your immunity? I'm thinking sleep, exercise, things like that. What are some of your other tips?
So I typically also say sleep. So when you listen to sleep experts, they will say around 7.5 to 8 hours is a good amount of sleep to get. And we know that when you sleep, your brain actually detoxes, to say, even though the coronavirus is not really about the brain, but just threw that in there. Sleep, meditation, right? So de-stressing. And, you know, it's interesting because we can become so chronically stressed that we're not even aware when we are anxious, when we're stressed out, because we're so used to that. So, which is why I think it's so important to establish some type of daily practice where, you know, you force yourself for 10 minutes or 20 minutes just to kind of breathe or just to kind of set affirmations for the day. And that's like, those are really simple things, and they're free and they're easy to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And so just, you know, and I'm glad that you touched on that, because I think that mindset just has such a huge impact in general.
Oh, huge.
Yeah. And huge. You deal a lot in mind-body medicine. So, So what are some other ways that you're talking with people about that aspect?
So I typically recommend like self-hypnosis. And so there's this really interesting, like really wonderful therapist that I love. Her name is Marissa Peer. She developed this technique called Rapid.
I love Marissa Peer. Sorry, I just have to nerd out for a second on that.
I love her. And I am a firm believer that your mind will do what you tell it to do, right? And so I typically will tell people, set your affirmations. And you may feel sick, but you would tell yourself, I am healthy. My lungs are functional. I'm able to breathe in full air and release it. Just kind of like affirmations for your physiological state. There's actually a technique in mind-body medicine, I'm blanking on it now, where you basically will give your body instructions. So you'll say, my left arm is heavy, my left arm is heavy, and you repeat those words over and over to basically trick your mind into relaxing it. Because when your muscles are heavy, they're relaxed, right? And so when you say, my right arm is warm, it means your blood is flowing. So it's kind of like a backwards way of controlling the body. So I think positive affirmations, like, even if you're not feeling great, you tell you, I'm feeling great today. You know, you have to tell your mind what you want it to believe.
Okay. I love that. I love that. And I'm 100% a believer in that. I think it's had a major impact on my own health, and I'm constantly preaching that. And I often refer people to Marissa Peer's work. So I'm so glad that you mentioned her. That is just phenomenal. She's the best. She's the best. So, okay. Other ways that you could support immunity through, say, supplements. I know one that's getting a lot of buzz is silver, hydrosol. Thoughts on that?
I'll say this. I typically go for botanicals, to be honest with you. I have nothing against silver. I'm just not really familiar with it, to be honest with you. I know it's a great antibacterial. We learned a lot about it in naturopathic medical school, but I've just not really followed the literature on that. But I know a lot of people are into like silver, colloidal silver. There is a brand of product that I like to use for like nasal spray, and I take myself, but I'm not really, honestly, I'm not that consistent with it. But what are your thoughts on it? Just curious.
I mean, I do take it. I learned about it years ago, actually, from my great aunt, and then looked into it. And I was like, okay, well, that's a remedy that I could maybe get on board with. But, you know, I don't know a ton about it. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a person that finds that it seems to be beneficial for me.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but, you know, other botanicals then. So talking about botanicals, I know that you've mentioned something that had a little bit of lavender in it. I'll let you just go into that.
Oh, yeah. So lavender is something that I recommend for anxiety. So people who have, like, just kind of stress anxiety, or who are already taking anti-anxiety medications and maybe want just a little bit of something to take the edge off, I recommend like lavender. There's a product called Lavella. There's another one called Calm Aid by Nature's Way. You can get it at Whole Foods or Sprouts or any like healthy food grocery store. And they're basically clinically prepared lavender capsules that have been shown to reduce anxiety index scores. So when somebody has anxiety, we know like there's not actually a blood test for it per se. It's just kind of like, let's go through this questionnaire, and if you rank really high, you have anxiety kind of thing. So when they do these questionnaires before and after, and it's subjective, but it is clinically validated to help with anxiety and reduce those scores. So I typically recommend like Lavella. There aren't any side effects to it. It's been shown to be beneficial when combined with anti-anxiety medications. That's something I recommend for anxiety. And then, I mean, there are other herbs for immune system if you wanted to go there.
I would love for you to go there. Please dive in.
Okay. So for the immune system, the herbs that I really love, especially right now to boost your natural killer cell activity and boost like your T cell activity, is astragalus. I take astragalus every day. Ashwagandha is a really great one.
I love that one. Yeah.
I love it. Astragalus and ashwagandha are like my top two right now. I also do recommend some like elderberry as well. Elderberry is really cheap to get. And there was like all this controversy about elderberry and coronavirus, but it actually did not pan out to be what the media was claiming it to be. So elderberry is one that I like also.
Now, but wait, I didn't hear about that controversy.
Yeah, they were saying that elderberry in some way contributes to this like cytokine storm and may not be the most beneficial for people who have are experiencing coronavirus. But I think it only ended up being like one case, and they like tried to basically extrapolate and polarize based on that one incident. But elderberry is fine, and then echinacea is always like a really common one that people kind of resort to. But my top right now are astragalus and ashwagandha.
Okay. All right. And so immune boosting there from their adaptogenic herbs, right? Which are
right.
For anybody that
adaptogenic herbs.
Yeah. Sure.
Herbs that are basically for the word adapt. So when I was in school, we learned about adaptogenic herbs from a registered herbalist, and they would tell us, when you think of adaptogen, just think of the word adapt. So if your body is kind of over the edge, you need a little bit of chill, adaptogens. If you need a little bit of pick-me-up, adaptogens. So they kind of meet you where you're at. But adaptogens are really cool because not only do they help with just kind of adrenal stress function, there are some really cool studies behind what they can do for your immune system. I mean, there are even studies in autoimmune diseases, ulcerative colitis, and just like other chronic autoimmune cases where astragalus, ashwagandha are beneficial. So I love them.
All right, good stuff. And then for movement, a lot of people with, two things here, actually. So isolation is affecting people in interesting ways. One, it's affecting our mental health, right? And so I'd have you talk a little bit about that aspect. And then also, you know, what are you doing to encourage people to still get enough movement in with all the gyms being closed and people being stuck at home?
I think so many people walking right now outside, I'm like, I don't know, people live in these areas. So many people are out walking with their family, getting into the sun, getting that vitamin D exposure. I would say, you know, like right now there are kind of like Facebook lives and like Instagram lives, and they do kind of yoga with each other and kind of have that social aspect as well. So I would say some type of movement every day is great. I try to do some yoga, stretching. I love to go to the sauna, but saunas, they're pretty much closed at this point. That's what I recommend. I mean, gyms are closed, but some kind of like social exercise where you can participate with other people online. There's a ton of free ones, paid ones, whatever you like.
Absolutely. And I think just being more mindful around movement in general. So, you know, if you're in the kitchen and you're bending over to get something, maybe do a couple squats while you're cooking.
Right.
You know, you're all in there cooking anyway. What I like about this situation is what you said there. I think you hit the nail on the head. People are outside walking and getting some vitamin D. You can't get vitamin D in the gym.
Everybody, this is over, and they're going to all be normal. We're going to all finally have normal, healthy vitamin D levels.
It's going to be amazing. So there's that. And I love that people are being more intentional about connecting for things online like yoga and whatever, or even just connecting in general. I think people are being more mindful about reaching out and saying, how are you? Are you okay?
Right.
Like, how are you holding up?
Right.
And I think that's really, really, that's important. But, you know, I love that people are getting in the kitchen and cooking, and they're thinking more, you know, even people that I would never have expected to ask me, like, you know, hey, what could I be eating now that would help to boost my immunity are asking that, and they're actually taking initiative. So I think there's so much good that could potentially come out of this in a weird and twisted sort of way. It might be a blessing. Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So what are some of the other positives that you're seeing?
I think for me, what I'm seeing is, patients are actually taking their diet serious, right? And I think that a lot of times with like alternative or integrative medicine, people get so caught up into supplements and supplementing, and it's like, oh, I'll take care of the diet, or maybe I'll add in one vegetable. But people are really becoming more intentional about what they're eating, and, you know, vegetables aren't like toilet paper. We still have some at the store. And so it's like you can go to the grocery store and there's still some lettuce on the shelf, you know? So it's easy to eat healthy now because you really have no other option.
That is true. That is true. You know, I just watched a really interesting bit last night on the news about why the toilet paper shortage is a thing.
Yeah, can you tell me why? This is crazy.
So because it's a low-cost item, it's not something that's very profitable for stores to carry, and it's bulky, so it takes up a lot of space. They just don't keep a lot in stock. And because of that, there aren't really a lot of warehouses or anything that keep it in stock either, because it's a pretty predictable flow of the amount of toilet paper that's going to be used in society. So they've got it down. The only way, you know, with such slim profit margins to really make a profit on toilet paper is to just supply and demand and keep it low, you know, right? Like keep it tight.
Okay.
So that's the deal. So they're just like, isn't anymore. And they already run all of the mills pretty much 24/7 just to keep up with the regular demand of toilet paper. So when it all got sold out, they were like, well, our machines can't go any faster. So they're finding some interesting ways to fix and get around that problem, such as, you know, a lot of the companies are just making like two or three types, whereas they used to make, you know, 20 different varieties so that they can get production sped up. So it was really interesting. So, yeah, y'all Google that.
Thank you. I'm so glad I learned that from you because
you're welcome.
Thank you.
You know, it's whatever goes on Get Real Deal. So
I like it. I like it.
Dr. Asia Muhammad, thank you so much for being with us today. I want everybody to check out your practice, Lavender Roots Health and Wellness, and how can they find you online if they want to get in touch?
You can go to my website. It's my name, www.asiamuhammad. They're all A's, no E's in there, .com. And then Facebook, you can just at me, Dr. Asia Muhammad, and Instagram, same thing, Dr. Asia Muhammad. And just reach out if you have any questions.
Thanks so much. This has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. For more information from me, check me out online at amandalaplante.com or on social at Get Real to Heal. And you can reach out anytime for a free consult at 314-583-6749 for integrative health coaching. Y'all go make it a great day. Okay.